Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 97 or something. I am in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I am drunk. I have gotten drunk for the last 5 days. This place, Canada, I have a popular saying. Not popular, but something I say, that is never drink with someone from Chicago or someone from Canada, because they're better at it than you are. I am at the comic strip in Edmonton, and I have gotten drunk for 5 different days. I'm with Kathleen McGee. She is featuring for me this weekend. She's in the other room having sex with a man named Jim, who has a beard. Kathleen likes men with beards. Hi, everybody. It's Ari Shaffir. How are you? I had a wonderful weekend this week in Edmonton. On this week's Skeptic Tank, here's the deal. Here's what happened. I recorded an episode with Mac Danzig, who is a UFC fighter. He won season 3 or 4 or 5 of The Ultimate Fighter. It's a reality show. If you don't know, it's a reality show on Spike, or it was on Spike, where they pick the next person who fights in the UFC. And he won 1 year. And he is also a vegetarian. I'm sorry, a vegan. He's a vegan. He's a fighter and he's vegan. And so we talked one day all about that sort of stuff. Why he's a vegan, what it means to him. Other things. I lost it. I lost the interview. I transferred off by accident off my hard drive, off my Zoom, and then I deleted it, and then I emptied the trash can on my computer. It's the only thing I don't hoard. I mean, I do hoard on my computer all the time. I have tons of files on my desktop, and I suddenly deleted that and then emptied the trash for no reason. Anyway, so I lost the file, and I tried to get it back, and then recently I discovered a new way to import files, and I had this unknown file that I was hoping was this interview, and it was, sort of. It was a little bit of the Nick Thune podcast. I don't remember which episode that was. And then it was about an hour of this podcast with Mac Danzig. And then it was like 5 or 10 minutes of Al Jackson. I don't know how they all came together in one file. I don't know. I fucking got a corrupted file, regardless. So I was able to save an hour of this interview that I had with UFC fighter and known vegan Mac Danzig. So that's what this is. Let me do some sponsor really quickly. If you want to help this podcast out, go to flowers.com. That's not it at all. It's 1-800 Pro Flowers. Hold on 1 second. Well, it's Pro Flowers. It's proflowers.com. They sponsor me. They send me flowers once in a while, which is actually very nice. But if you guys, Valentine's Day is coming up, or whatever other fucking stupid holiday you have where it's social norms, where you have to get flowers to somebody, fucking weddings or funerals or Valentine's Day, all sad events in my book, where it's you fucking feel the societal pressures on you to get whatever they're called, flowers, then go to proflowers.com. If you go to our website, there's a link on the top where you can go to, there's a microphone on the top, you can go to enter that skeptic and it'll go through me. But if you go to my website, arithegreat.com, you can click on there and then it'll take you to a link to proflowers.com and you can send flowers to anybody, and then I get they give me like $15 or something like that out of your order. They figure you'll be a lifetime member. Suckers, am I right? So anyway, you do that and that'll help support the podcast. Let me do some dates really quickly. Man, I'm having a good time in Edmonton. All the shows are really fucking good. I did one set. I did all old stuff, but mostly I did maybe one or two sets. I worked in like half old stuff, half new stuff, but the Sunday show, man, was all new. And then I went to the show in town, this like open mic at Filthy McNasty's. That was a lot of fun. So coming up, well, first of all, I'm going to Muse and Band of Skulls on the 23rd at Staples Center. You guys are not invited to that. I scalped tickets. I'm being in Chicago on the 25th with Joe Rogan, and then Milwaukee at the Miramar Theater on the 26th of January. Punch Drunk live podcast in La Jolla, California, in San Diego, the 29th of January. And then we have Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlie Goodnights, the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. And then Governors in Long Island, the 1st and 2nd of March. And when is fucking, I thought Vancouver was there. Vancouver's the 21st to the 23rd of March. Anyway, so those are my dates. Also, my special, Passive Aggressive, is available right now if you go for pre-order, if you go to chill.com. If you go to chill.com/Ari Shaffir, you can pre-order my special. It was me. It was fucking 12 to 14 months of hard work writing material, and it's available for pre-order at a 20% discount of fucking four goddamn dollars. For 12 to 14 months of the hardest I've ever worked in stand-up comedy, it's $4. Ugh, I can hear Kathleen fucking in the other room. The microphones don't pick it up because they're good mics that only pick up my voice, but you can hear it in the other room. She's going like, oh, Jesus. Did you hear that? You probably didn't. Anyway, so this is the episode, everybody. I talked to Mac Danzig, who's a vegan, and he told me all about why he's a vegan and sort of why he lives a clean life. From what I know about Jesus, I can hear her going. Fuck. From what I know about UFC fighters, Mac Danzig is an outlier. He's not like most of them. Most of them aren't as clean as he is. Fucking Brock Lesnar got fucking intestinal cancer because he only ate meat for like months. So Mac is the opposite. He's also a really forward-thinking, really liberal, cool kind of guy. And I was really upset when the podcast got lost, and I'm really happy that I found it. So here we go. Let's do it. So here we go. So let's do it. Oh, and by the way, with my special, you can also get the vinyl copies of my album, Revenge for the Holocaust, and a bunch of other stuff. And I have new 2013 t-shirts. The first design is out right now at AriTheGreat.com. So if you go to AriTheGreat.com/shop, you can get you get my new tour shirts, the first ones. I'm going to put one out every like month or so. The next one's the Blue Octopus. So that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 97. Vegetable Face with Mac Danzig. It's all about vegans. Here we go. And seriously, my special, Passive Aggressive. I worked really hard. Pay me back by getting it for $4. A pre-order. Or do it at the time on February 5th. That's when it comes out, February 5th. And it'll be $5. But chill.com/Ari Shaffir. Get it there. All right. Bye. Enjoy the episode. Oh, and also, I'm at the airport now. But also, there's clicks and beeps and stuff, so just ignore that. That's because I had to rescue this interview from the trash can. So it also comes in, like, we've already started talking, and it just cuts out suddenly at the end. But it's a good hour-long talk. So enjoy. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 97, Vegetable Face with Mac Danzig. This beautiful creature must die. Reason and death for no reason is murder. And the flesh is so fancifully fried, is not succulent and tasty your kind. It's death for no reason and death for no reason is murder. You are going to eat nothing but coconuts for a year because you're stranded on a desert island, you can do that. If you can only eat meat because... You could do it.
You can do it. And if you can only eat vegetables or nuts or something, you can do it. And like, or a mixture of all everything. You know, we're...
Like cockroaches.
Yeah, we're omnivores. We're able to adapt. So I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong, like on a primal level, anything wrong with eating... meat, I think in this day and age, if you're a regular consumer like most of us are, like anyone who's going to be, you know, like if you have a computer and a car and a TV and all that stuff, like, you know, we're in a consumerist society in this world, and everything you do contributes to something, you know, like you. And so that was just like my choices.
Oh, yeah. You do make a small.
Here's my drop in the bucket. My drop in the bucket is I can control one person, me. Nobody else I can control. I can, you know, influence people or whatever, lead by example.
If you don't eat meat, too, over a lifetime, like, chances are there will be one less cow killed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, maybe a little more than that.
Probably, but at least something will have been different.
And I don't want to directly contribute to that. Like, what, you know, it's kind of like voting or something like that. It's like, well, like... And not that I condone voting. I mean, like, we can get into that. Yeah.
My math is too good. Your vote does not count.
I know it doesn't. I guess that's not a good comparison. But
voting is the war. It's so fucking lame. People are like, my vote matters. I'm like, you live in Hawaii, and the president has already been decided
Weird. It's a weird thing that like people can go around and tell other people that don't vote that they don't have the right to complain. It's like, please, like my kid is 3 years old, and if she realizes that something's fucked up with this country, which it is, she has every right to complain. I mean, nobody asked to be born.
Oh yeah,
you know, like, I make a choice not to be a part of this quote unquote democracy.
I think anyone who voted for the guy who's in office has no right to complain because, like, you did it. Everyone else can.
That's
complain.
A very good point. Yeah, no, but back to that whole thing. I think that like for me, I personally feel that it's wrong in this day and age.
Why this day and age? What do you mean?
Because now it's no longer. Okay, we need to hunt. Okay, we've got a village. We're gonna send a bunch of guys out.
The buffalo are there. Yeah, we have to, you know, kill them if we want to survive the winter.
Right, right. It's not like that anymore. And there's been all sorts of different cultures over the years. I mean, I'm not just talking about the Native Americans who, you know, really for the most part, most of the tribes really respected the animals that they killed. I'm talking, you know, even all the European countries and everything, like the people that were domesticating animals and slaughtering them for meat and everything, it wasn't to this extent. I mean, we're in a situation where everybody gets their meat from the store and everyone gets their animal products from the store, and these animals are just treated like product. And that's all it is. And like,
livestock.
If you have a, yeah, exactly. Livestock. And it's like, if you got a dog or a cat, like I'm trying to like relate to, like have people relate to it, like a hamster, whatever. I mean, like they have whether you have respect for their intelligence or their soul or whatever or not, they have the ability to suffer. There's no doubt about it. And we're constantly making these animals suffer. I mean, we're like just pumping them full of antibiotics so they don't get sick and die before they can be used to the extent of what they're being used for.
And just like, fuck it, if steroids, they get immune to it, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be around for very long.
Yeah, exactly. Steroids are being fed wrong. I mean, like in dairy farms, you know, most of these cows, they're stuck, like they're forced to lactate all the time. They're, you know what I mean? Like they're forced to be pregnant all the time so that they're lactating.
So they're just milking machines.
Yeah, and their heads are in this in between these bars that they can't pull themselves out. So they're stuck in the same stall all the time. They shit and piss where they're standing, and then they just come and just like hose everything down every day and then, you know, milk them, and they're just stuck in this situation. And then when they can no longer stand anymore and they can no longer produce milk, then they're just hauled off and killed. And, you know, like people
for their meat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like people don't understand, like, I mean, there's so, I mean, I could go
on. I see
on
those
and
videos sometimes. Yeah. And it's like, you gotta turn this off. Cause it's like, it's just making me feel bad.
Yeah, of course. It's bad.
Even,
it's like watching,
even whether or not I even eat meat, it's still like, seeing the suffering is making me feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. So knowing that that goes on and knowing that it isn't some kind of romantic situation where I'm this wild mountain man, hunter-gatherer, and okay, I see the deer in the distance and I don't want to kill it, but I have to, and I feel sorry for it, and I kill it, but I needed to, and I eat the meat. Like, that would be great if we could live like that. Are you better with that,
with free range animals?
I mean, you know, I would be better with it if it was universal. If it was just like, if there was some kind of universal law in all countries that, you know, you cannot treat animals this way, like, you know, like whatever, people are going to eat them and that's just the way it's going to be, but you can't just go out and kill these animals. I mean, I would exhaust myself talking about it, and like, I don't want to like go crazy about it, but there's so many different things. I mean, there's people in these countries that kill sharks just to cut their fin off, and then just let them fall and die, and there's the whole fur thing is just awful. You know,
and
what I mean?
We always started in this country too, where it's like we came in, killed the buffalo, and just took their pelts.
Oh, it was crazy. Left it. I mean, have you seen those photos where it's like hundreds of thousands of buffalo skulls just like in a gigantic mountain?
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, that's the buffalo were so prevalent out here, and when the white people came over and just, you know, started, you know, like, hey, check it out. Well, I've
let's
got
kill
a gun.
All of those.
Let's just kill everything. It's like I just don't understand that mentality. Like, even if I didn't care about animals, it's like, whoa, like
they're gonna be gone soon.
Yeah, like can you preserve this, you know, like even if I like whatever, like if you take some hypothetical situation, like if I go into a forest and I'm trying to live there and I've got, you know, I see like all these fruit bushes, what am I gonna do? Just like
not pick as much
pull them all out and just like, let's get all of them and eat all of them now.
Like eat
as many as you can,
leave the rest.
It's like, dude, oh man, what the white people did when they came over here. I mean, I say white people, it's a bunch of different groups of people, but man, they screwed things up. I mean, but
they weren't conservationists.
No, not at all, man. Here. Horrible.
So, wait, isn't there a difference in the way a body metabolizes meat between free-range cows and grain-fed cows? I thought free range is like grass fed cows actually help you burn fat.
I don't know. I've never heard that. I can say this though. Like if you are going to eat meat,
yeah,
the benefits of eating organic free range, like grass fed beef as opposed to like whatever beef you get at Ralph's supermarket or whatever, are like, the health benefits for the person consuming them are huge. Like, you know, whatever, like if I have an apple that's not organic and there's some pesticides on it, yeah, there's some toxins in that. As long as I'm not eating five of them every day for some years, I should be okay.
Yeah.
You know, and organic is definitely better with fruits and vegetables, but organic is a huge step forward in the health spectrum.
When you think about it, it's like you're talking about all those toxins that you have in your body that they work out doing the cleanse like that. It's like that's from eating shitty.
Yeah, yeah.
And you feel worse.
Sure.
And you feel better when you do that cleanse. And you just think, well, the animal is eating shitty too, and he feels worse because his body's less healthy. And you don't want to eat the less healthy body.
Oh no, exactly. I mean, they have them on steroids. They have these animals that are just herbivores eating, you know, like mechanically separated meat products, you know, just to make them bigger. You know, they have them doing all kinds of stuff, and then that screws them up. That makes their digestive system weak. It makes them sick, so they become sick and die, and that doesn't profit these people. So they give them antibiotics.
Okay.
So you're consuming. See, it's one thing to like jack some fruit and vegetables up because they can
replant those every year if you want. Or.
Well, no, I mean they can get rid of. You know what I mean? Like the plants can like flush themselves of some of this stuff, but like all these toxins and antibiotics and steroids and all this nasty stuff that these animals are eating, it goes directly into their flesh, into their fat. You know, it's in their fat, it's in their muscles, and when you consume it, like you're getting that. So it's like pretty bad. So yeah, I mean, even if somebody's like, I don't care at all about animals, you know, and I want them to all suffer and everything. Well,
nobody wants that.
Yeah. Well, if
you get people saying that
just,
to you?
No, but like, I'm just saying hypothetically, like if somebody were to be like that, then at least, you know, like think about what it's doing to your body. You know what I mean? In this day and age. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with, 500 years ago, like a deer or buffalo in the forest, but right now, nowadays, it is not healthy to eat animal products.
So how can you not look down on somebody if they're sitting next to you at a restaurant and you're eating a salad and they're getting a burger? How can you not be like, in your mind a little bit, like, what you're doing is barbaric? Like, if it was a dog, I would feel it. I'd be like, dude, you're eating dog.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you not get indignant?
Yeah, the thing is, I ate meat, maybe not red meat and stuff, but I ate animal products a lot for like 24 years. And so that's why I've always had an issue with like the vegan people that are like, oh my God, this guy next to me is eating a hamburger. It is so disgusting. I'm going to vomit. Sir, could you like get that disgusting meat away from me? Like, you know, like I've never been
one of these before.
I know. I've never been one of those people. And like most of my friends aren't vegan. You know what I mean? Like it's become trendy now for fighters to go vegan for their training camp. It's like in the past year or two, I'd say a good like 10% of the fighters are like experimenting with
for training camp.
Yeah, with wow. Yeah, yeah. It's become pretty prevalent.
Why? What are the benefits?
Just the benefits of being absolutely clean. Like, you know what I mean? Just like clean. And I mean, don't get me wrong. There's wrong ways to do every diet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can be vegan and eat nothing but fudge and potato chips and drink Coca-Cola.
I had a friend who used to train with us.
Yeah.
Brent, I forget his last name, but a 10th Planet.
Yeah.
And he was a vegan. What was his name?
Brent.
Big. He was a brown belt.
Yeah. He was one of Eddie's main guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. When the gym was at Legends, and Legends was in Hollywood, and I was still teaching there. I remember him, yeah. I don't remember his last name. He was a good guy.
But I couldn't understand how he was fat if he was a vegan. And Rogan's like, Doritos are vegan, bro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Doritos all day long.
Sure, sure. 7-Up and,
exactly.
Potato chips are vegan. I mean, yeah, so there's wrong ways to do pretty much every diet.
The weird thing is, I think Americans have in English, there's a different word for the animal of a cow and the food product.
Yeah, beef. Right.
And in most countries, like in Israel, there's a different word for fowl and chicken.
Yeah.
If you say pass a chicken, they'll laugh at you.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
and that's just, I think that's to help us like ignore the fact that this is an animal.
Yeah, you're distancing yourself from the animal itself. It's you're just like making a product, you know, using language like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Back to you, the question that you asked about like how do I not feel like look down on something? It's because people, they just don't know any better. A lot of people are just really ignorant, and I'm like the last guy to like go on a crusade, like trying to force people or change people or whatever. So I see ignorance, not just in diet, but I see ignorance in the way so many people live their lives on so many different levels. And I see ignorance in myself, you know, like I recognize like myself doing lots of wrong things. So I'm just like I sigh, you know, in my head, and I'm just like, ah, man, it is what it is, you know, and like my whole thing is to just lead by example. I think I've helped a lot of people realize that they don't have to like eat meat products or animal products if they don't want to and they want to be an athlete. I think I'm happy with that, you know, and I don't like go on a crusade shoving it down people's throats.
I heard an interview with Erica Badu. Might have been Lauryn Hill.
God damn it, I suppose they all seem the same to you, huh?
Yeah. God damn it. It was one of those two. I'm narrowing it down to two, at least.
If you're going to say something good,
yeah,
I bet it's Erica Badu. If you're going to say something bad, it's probably Lauryn Hill, and that's just a guess.
But one of them was talking about their development as humans,
right?
And looking down at other people, and they just said, hey, everyone's evolving at their own rate.
Yeah.
It was like, you can't push someone else's evolution.
That's true. You know? Like, and
you,
I mean,
you got to you at some point when you were 24 and like, all right, yeah. at 22, it hadn't gotten to you yet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, at 22, I was just thinking like, yeah, one day I'll do this. But I believed all the BS about if you're an athlete, you need this protein. That's still like, I mean, I've probably been asked, where do you get your protein?
A billion times.
Tens of thousands of times, possibly. I don't know.
Is it? Quinoa?
Yeah.
Is it just guzzling quinoa?
I don't even think about it, to be honest with you. Like, when I'm training really hard, like 6 hours a day or something like that, and I'm in the trenches of training camp, so to speak. I'm like, you know, in the really hard part of training. Yeah, like I've got these supplements that are all plant based, like this stuff Vega that I take, and it's really good. And I make smoothies with that, and I'll like supplement with this additional protein. So since I'm keeping my calories low anyway, I will want more protein ratio, you know, than anything else in my calories, because I am breaking my muscles down a lot. But like, that's when I'm in extremely hard training, and most people
don't do that.
Don't do that. And like, you don't really need to think about protein. Like, I mean,
you're losing your breath getting to your car, don't worry about it.
I don't think so, man. I mean, like, really, like, your body does an amazing job of converting, you know, like, protein to energy if you get too much of it, and it does an amazing job of converting other sources like fats and carbohydrates to protein. Like, it can do all
so you don't the do body the, you don't is do the amazing mix and match, like different vegetables add up to a full nine
the complete protein
yeah those
thing?
Things
no that got debunked, like the complete protein thing, like what? Like, yeah, like you need, like people were saying, like you need like beans and corn to make a complete protein, and like
because one has like six of the things that are not
amino acids.
Yeah.
No, that like protein is protein, whether you get
from
soy or meat or like, you know, peanut or like whatever. Like it's protein is protein. Don't get me wrong, there are different amino acid profiles, and when you get into that, then you're talking about like, okay, well, like soy, for example, has a different amino acid profile than like hemp protein or like whey protein and all this stuff, and they're different, but that idea of having that you need like to combine like these different vegetables to get a complete protein, yeah, like that was like this.
How long ago was that debunked?
Some lady wrote that book in the 80s, and it got debunked in the 90s.
It's amazing. People are still going for that. I just learned about it 2 years ago.
Yeah. There's all sorts of crazy stuff going on.
I heard this thing on NPR that said that even when for professors and for scientists, when something has been debunked,
yeah,
like it's like standard theory, right, like this is all right, and then it's like, no, it's wrong, people will continue to quote it, the original paper, as the truth.
Of course, yeah. I really think that the reason why people are so hung up on protein, and this is my theory, is because we don't know anything about fitness in this country. We don't know. It was like Jack LaLanne was like the only guy who was kind of on like the right path that was like telling people how to work out and how to eat a little bit, and even he had some things not so great in my opinion, but he, you know, like he was okay, but like look at like what we view as like, oh, this guy's in shape and he's tough. It's bodybuilders. It's still like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno, like eat 8 eggs in the morning.
It's all about
get your
that.
Protein. Yeah, look at Men's Fitness, Men's Health, all these magazines. It's like, you know, like look at these ab exercises and like get your whey protein. Where do you get your protein from and all this stuff? And
yeah, there's never a picture of somebody's arteries that are unclogged.
Exactly.
On the Men's Health means healthy, not big body.
I know. People are so hung up on that, and all these insecure American guys that want to look like as big and as strong as they possibly can, and they want to get cut and they want to get ripped, and they think that'll like lead to like, you know, getting a better woman, or here in West Hollywood, a better man.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
It's either fat or you're in shape. And you're like, no, there's health. There's heart health.
Yeah, exactly. And so like all these people are just like so hung up on the protein thing. He's like, yes, okay, you do need protein, just like you need carbohydrates, just like you need fats in your diet. But protein
You do need carbohydrates? You can't live without them? Or be hard or what? Because that's another diet, the no carbs thing.
Yeah, you need some form of carbs. I mean, like I said, the human body can adapt. But like ideally, you want like a good ratio of all of them. You want a varied diet. Yeah. You want your vitamins and enzymes and all this good stuff from the vegetables. And you want your, you know, good carbohydrates. You want your good fats.
Tate just told me. You know, remember Tate Fletcher?
Yeah, yeah.
He just told me about the paleo diet.
Right, right.
He got in my head. He's like, humans aren't supposed to process grains. They're just not supposed to be able to do that. Our bodies
There is something to that. I mean, I'm not going to go out and say like nobody should eat grains and that I'll never eat them. But I will say that like... There's definitely something to that theory. I mean, if you look at like even dogs, for example, like dog food, the regular dog food you buy in the store, it has all this filler. It has this like the main
cardboard, right?
Yeah, like the main ingredient is usually like rice meal or cornmeal. It's like, when have dogs been eating rice meal or cornmeal? Like when? Like how does that work with their bodies and everything? And it's,
like if you leave it on the floor. They won't eat it. They'll just exactly. walk past it.
They're not supposed to eat it, but then you mash it up with like all this
bit of bacon flavor.
Yeah, like the chicken feet that got all grinded up and everything that they didn't use. You know, all that stuff. That's what they end up eating. And I mean, a lot of it too is your lineage.
What do you mean?
Well. Look at this, for example. A lot of the Native American people that were living in this country for who knows how long. I mean, like, there's no clear cut time, like in history, that they, you know, like you hear different theories all the time. But they were living here for a long time, and they hardly ever had simple sugars. Certainly did not have refined.
What's a simple sugar? Sugar.
Well, yeah, like, exactly, like, or like cane sugar, you know what I mean?
Why, they just didn't grow it?
Yeah, I mean, like, the berries and fruit and stuff like that was about as far as it went. I mean, if you look at what the quote-unquote Western diet, the American diet, has done to them, it's destroyed them. I mean, most of them are obese, they all have heart conditions.
Oh, really?
And they, for example, like, they metabolize the junk food of today so much less efficiently than a lot of other people do. And
yeah,
you know,
that's your favorite lineage.
Yeah, there. Yeah. And so like...
Yeah, booze are like that, right? I mean, everyone knows about... They can't handle booze.
Oh, that's yeah, I know. Like, yeah, exactly. They had their... Some different tribes had their own alcoholic drinks, but they were not distilled the same way. You know what I mean? They were not used the same way. And like they're just not used to eating this stuff. And if you look like most... Most people that are not of Eastern European, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, we're all, like, melting together these days, and there's a lot less
Everybody's
distinct lines.
Gray.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the gray race, it's happening, you know what I mean? Which, you know, whatever.
We have to stop it, people. Do something.
Segregate.
Volunteer.
Yeah. But most people that have no problem digesting milk products whatsoever are of Eastern European origin, because they were the only people that
for
hundreds and thousands of years were actually keeping goats and stuff like that. And when during the winter, when times were hard and hunting was really scarce and like there was no berries, no vegetables to be had, they would use the milk in the wintertime and stuff, and you know, yeah,
oh, really,
yeah, yeah. So that, like, over, you know, so many years, your body they keep the digestive the enzymes that are able to digest lactose. You keep producing it because you still have a need for it.
Eating lactose,
right? Most other countries, when you're not a baby anymore, you're done sucking from your mom's teat,
right?
And you're not gonna have any milk ever again.
Why do they always change that word,
teat?
Yeah, but whenever they say sucking from your mom's teat, they change the teat. They never say you're sucking from your mom's tits.
Oh, man, yeah. I guess. I consciously changed it as I was saying the sentence.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
there's a seaweed in near Japan that only Japanese descendant people can process in a certain way. Like, there's some sort of like nutritional value off it that only they can get.
Totally. I mean, like, it's, you know, like if you know, people adapt, and they adapt pretty quick, and I think people have been on this earth a lot longer than than what most scientists have discovered, and what certainly more than most religious people.
So with grains, it's the same thing. We've only been using grains for so long that it's like we're not quite used to it.
I think so, what? And I think there are certain groups of people who harvested grains and have been using them for a long time, you know, and I think they're better at digesting them. But like, man, nowadays, even, I mean, I know this is going off just the flat idea that you know, that we shouldn't have grains, but like corn is horrible nowadays.
What do you mean?
Corn is
it's like the worst one, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of that has to do with like Monsanto and what they're doing.
They're just shoving like.
Well, corn is like basically poison now. Non-organic corn is basically poison. It's made to kill. It's made so that if any caterpillars, insects, or even like field mice try to eat the corn, they will die. So this is a poison. And, you know, like people are just consuming it and they're just like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just like, I mean, I hate to like get all paranoid, and I'm not trying to, because that's not how I am. But like, think about like everything that's plastic. Like, there's been all these different ages. There was a Stone Age, a Bronze Age. You know, we had briefly had like a Steel Age, you know, like in the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. But this is like the plastic age. Everything around us is plastic. All the material things that are being manufactured, weapons, like food storage, like everything that we do is plastic, and plastic in the cars, plastic everywhere. And we're just like, oh, well, yeah, like if you work in a plastics factory and you're in and around those fumes, that's probably really bad. But once it's dried and everything, there's been no like evidence, or that everybody else is just doing it and they say it's okay, so it's fine. It's like, this is like a major part of the manufacturing industry in the world. It's like the plastics are the biggest thing
you think there's there. Stuff in dried plastics.
I think there's a ridiculously small amount, but we are always around plastic, like there, you know. And I think that like look at the cancer epidemic. I mean, they can be contributed to so many things, but why wouldn't plastics be a problem? I mean, I think that it has to be. I mean, if you think about the way it's made and everything, it's. I mean, my mom worked in a plastics factory for a couple months, and like all her nose hairs fell off.
What?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Really?
And a lot of them never grew back, she says. And she's had sinus problems ever since then. Now, granted, she was in
there. All her nose hairs fell off.
Yeah. She was in there with like, you know, when they were making it. And so there's like all these fumes and everything when it's like still liquid.
Yeah, stuff in the air.
And everything. But yeah, I mean, I think that even once it's dried, there's got to be.
Like licking a plastic fork?
Yeah, man. Like, we're just like constantly surrounded by it. Oils and stuff, you know, oils and chemicals. It's made out of.
And you made that into like bottles?
Yeah. There's a whole thing about like bottled water. Like, you know.
It gets into the water, right? If you leave it in your
car. Sure, sure.
Yeah, and that's it's dry plastic there.
But yeah,
they say it'll, like with the sun will hit it and just drop that batch.
Exactly.
Into the water.
There's all sorts of ways that
drink
it starts
that shit all the
to
time.
Deteriorate. Yeah,
it's in your cup holder, and it's
I
there
know.
When you get out of wherever you are.
We're trying to like do right by having the bottled water, because we all know like, oh, the tap water, oh, that's not good. It has fluoride in it and all this shit.
What's wrong with fluoride? Everyone thinks it's fluoride. It's great for you. It's awesome for your teeth.
Fluoride. Fluoride's one of the two main ingredients in Prozac. You know, the two main ingredients that make Prozac Prozac. You know,
would you never take depression medication or mood stabilizers?
Would I never take them? I have, and the best thing I ever did. The best thing I did at that point in my life was getting on them, and then a year later, the best thing I ever did was getting off of them.
What were you on? Stabilizers?
Zoloft.
Okay.
It was the worst coming off of that stuff was insane. I mean, I'll tell you this much: like, it's known for being like mild, because when you start taking it, you're just like, oh, okay, no weird side effects. Yeah. I don't feel weird, you know, while you're taking it. And then when you try to get off it, boy, it it fucks you up.
It's got its hooks in you. Do you go off all at once or try to wean off?
I went off straight. I was just like,
I'm done with these.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, that's the worst thing you can do.
But yeah, man. But yeah, it's the, you know, and
that shit that gets you stuck into an asylum.
Sure.
Because you fucking snap for a little while with those things.
Sure, yeah. I mean, once I got off, though, it was good. But most of my reaction in the side effects of withdrawal and withdrawal effects and everything were physical. It was like severe headaches, dizziness, and overall pain that I can't really explain. It's not like a, like, oh, my muscles hurt or my joints hurt or whatever. It's just, I don't know. An extreme discomfort in every cell of my body. I don't know how else to explain it. Just like, I feel like shit.
It's amazing. Like when you drop off something, you feel that bad. You're like, what does that teach you?
Exactly.
I had a friend who went off coffee.
Yeah.
It was wrong. You talk about it. But like, he was like, I'm stopping coffee for a week to see if I can. And he was getting migraines, like terrible headaches.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that teach you?
Exactly.
Goes, don't stop drinking coffee. I'm like, no.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't mess with caffeine at all. I'm probably one of the few fighters that don't. Like, almost every man, like, look at the Starbucks. And like, people just like joke, like, oh yeah, there's Starbucks everywhere. There's one on every block. Isn't that funny? Ha ha ha. But it's like, wow, this is kind of an epidemic.
Why are people drinking coffee at 8 p.m.? Why? Hey, what?
You know, like what Terrence McKenna when he was talking about, you know, like different substances, and just he was talking about like marijuana or whatever, and he was like look, there's a reason why they don't want you to do that, but they want you to do this. I mean, like, you know, he's like saying, he was mentioning how coffee breaks, even like the name coffee break is like written into people's like job contracts. Uh-huh. So they get these things. It's like, that's the type of substance that makes you like a worker ant. You get in line and do your stuff. And marijuana is the type of thing that will make you say, hey, wait a minute. Like, there's something to think about here. I want to do something creative. Or
how many years do I want to be this company?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean,
something I wanted to do with my friend once. I wanted to do like a hidden camera show, and I wanted to dress in a suit and just go downtown LA, like the offices with the lawyers and all that stuff, just ride up and down. And just be talking to them around other people, and just be like, "Dude, we're wasting our lives in here, man. We're not living. We're sheep."
That would be amazing.
And just see if I can get to somebody.
That would be great. That would be great. You got to do that.
Yeah,
that's an awesome idea. Maybe I should. You got to act. Because
they all
those
at some
ideas.
Point you're like, "Fuck, I'm 39. I'm 44. How long am I going to be here?"
I know, man.
When am I going to take that trip to Bora Bora?
People that are like, there's I think most people have some kind of creative instinct or artistic instinct in them. I think a lot of people,
some level.
At some level. Absolutely. I think most people do. Not all, but most people do. And then I think a good portion of them are like, it's instilled in them to just give up on that or not worry about, or that, or like they're taught that, oh, that's like silliness. Like, that's, you know, and that's why people like lose that magic that they had when they were a little kid. Because when you're a little kid, it's not really shoved down your throat. Oh, get a job and just worry about money.
You're just having fun.
Yeah, you're just having fun. And you're not worried. You don't worry about the future or anything. But I think that like us people that are like are creative, like, we could never work a job like that. And because we know, like, we have in the past, we've all had to at some point.
Yeah. I get this thing because we talk about this as comics a lot.
Yeah.
Anybody else must also, like, could you do a day job?
Right.
And people are like, I could never. But like, no, you could.
You could.
You'd get by. You'd make it happen.
You can make it happen.
And in a couple of years, you'd expect that just be normal for you.
I don't know, man. I mean, when I made the decision to try and move out to California to pursue fighting, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
One of the. Oh, that's a hopeless city sometimes.
Oh, man. You know, I
like, you got Detroit, you got Pittsburgh.
Totally.
Fuck.
I absolutely agree. And like, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you gotta represent.
Those
like, oh man, Stockton. All those guys, yeah, if they find out about that, they're gonna come after
all
me.
All those Diaz brothers, they go like, Stockton, man, life is hard there. I'm like, then why are you bragging about it? Just move to another town where life is not hard.
I know.
San Diego is beautiful.
Yeah, there's a strange, I say strange, maybe it's not strange to them, but there's a loyalty that I don't quite understand about like people like where you're from. Like,
humans have that.
Yeah.
And they have loyalty to hard times.
Yeah. I look back on Pittsburgh as like, this was like the worst time in my life. and like, especially like the latter years, you know, once I was a teenager and started having to, you know, I started realizing, excuse me, that, you know, I had to work. Obviously, I knew I was going to have to work at some point, and I started working. I'm like, wow, the economy really sucks. Everybody just has a job either in a factory or in retail. A few people got like degrees and are working as like family practice doctors or whatever, pushing pills and stuff to people. But yeah, like this is not, there's nothing going on here, and everybody's just, there's this dark cloud over the entire region. And I'm just like, I've got to get out of here. And my mom always talked about getting out of there, and she had moved to California for like 3 years when she was younger, way before she ever had me. And she always talked about California, and it was just my dream to get the hell out of there. And I made it my like a point in my life just to get out. And like once I did, and I was able to kind of quote make it out here or whatever, at least like get to the point where I was staying out here for a while, I was like, man, I'm never going back there. Like, as bad, as much as I hate things about LA, like, yeah, whatever, there's a lot of like negatives.
People say
about
that, like, everyone's fake there. I'm like, no, some people are fake here. But you can surround yourself with 10 or 12 really good friends that aren't fake, and it's not that hard to do.
Even more than that, what's so great about LA is like, no matter what your niche is, whether you're trying to be like a rapper or a writer or an artist or a scientist or a Scientologist or whatever the heck you're doing,
you can do it here.
You can do it here. And you can, like, I found more people that helped me out because they recognized that I was a hard worker, and they recognized that like I was willing to like work hard for my dreams and everything, and they saw that in me, and they helped me out big time. And like, people could give me jobs, people knew I needed work, would get stuff on the side. Like, people help each other out, and I do the same thing with people that just come out here. And like, yeah, there are fake people, but like, the people that hate on LA, like these people from the Midwest that like, they'll come to LA and they'll be like, oh, like everybody was a jerk there, and then they go back home and talk this all this crap about it and say stuff like, well, you know, where I live in Bettendorf, Iowa,
everybody
or wherever.
Knows me.
Yeah, like everyone from Bettendorf, Iowa is going to hate me. But like, if you like, you know, like people from wherever in the country, and they're like, oh, well, where I live, like, you know, if you're on the side of the road, you know, you'll have people pull over and help you change your tire. It's like, people over here have stuff to do. The reason why they don't,
and there's crime here. You can just help people.
The reason, like, there's a lot of people have stuff. Oh, well, they're just rushing around, and you know, you can't even, you know, like, someone won't let you in the lane and all this stuff. And like,
I'm
just
sorry,
complain.
We can't drink mint juleps on our back porch all day long. Fucking,
I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, and what's crazy is the few fake people that really are in the city are involved in the entertainment industry, and guess what? They're selling that to you people in the East and the Midwest. All you people that sit at home watching Judge Judy all day long, guess where they film Judge Judy? It's right down the road. And guess what?
Judy ain't fake.
And guess
She's
what?
Right there.
I never have anything to do with that crap. I live and drive by these studios all the time, and I don't have anything to do with that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, people see it in Hollywood, but that's a small percentage of what's going on in LA.
Exactly.
My friend tried to bring back the illustrated short story. He was doing that 7 or 8 years ago. Just like, got some writers, got some artists, brought them together. And said,
right.
Let's do it. But it's like, people are doing things here.
Yeah,
trying to get stuff accomplished.
Yeah, that's the one thing, man. You
it's
don't
New York
see,
West here.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see much of that. Yeah, man. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I can't remember the dude's name, but he's
probably dead.
He is dead.
Oh,
he was the lead singer of the Cramps. I don't remember his name. But he was on a radio show one time, and he was like, and they were like, "You're originally from Pittsburgh, right?" And he's like, "Yes, I am, and I can't tell you, it is the Pits." That was like, and that always.
Isn't like Fat Mike from Pittsburgh and like Mike Ness? There were some punkers that are like from. There was a scene there.
Yeah, there was a punk scene when I was there a little bit, but I don't want to say this for sure. But I was involved with a lot of people that listened to bands like NoFX and bands like, you know, like Mike Ness's stuff and everything. And I never heard them being from Pittsburgh. So maybe. I'm not going to say no, but I'm going to say a definite. I don't think so. But Jeff Goldblum was from Pittsburgh, and he said that it was one of the most depressing places.
Really?
Yeah. He's quoted as saying that. He's like, man, it's just so depressing there.
I feel like you're right. Like, all these people have creative like energies inside them, and they don't get to express it at all.
Man.
And I want to tell people, it's like, even if you can't do it as a job, just do it. If you can paint, do it once in a while.
People could turn places like that into a California if there was enough. But like, enough, I think, movement. California, the reason why it is the way that it is, I think, is because of what was happening with the beatniks and the hippies, like in the like 40s, 50s, 60s. I think
cool people move here.
Yeah, that's what exactly.
It is. And they exactly. add to the coolness of this place.
Exactly.
And they have babies. Somebody came here to be a fucking writer. Someone else came here to be a whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. They have babies, and they instill in those babies.
Exactly.
Hey, be cool.
I know.
There's some marijuana. You're nine now. You should know what this feels like.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. And I look back at Pittsburgh and I say, like, man, that was horrible, and I never want to go back. And maybe a lot of that is just in my head from my experiences. But I'll tell you what, I go back there.
Yeah.
I haven't been back since 2007. When I did go back, I was like, I'm not going back again. I told my mom, I was like, hey, if you need help moving or there's something, you know, like there's a serious thing that you need my help with, or I need to be here, I will come here for you without a doubt. But otherwise, never coming back.
Wow.
You know, and so I bring her out here. She comes out here. I fly her out here to see my kid and stuff. And she has a really good relationship, but like with my kid and everything. And she's a great grandma. But like, it's like, I can never go back out there. And I see these people. They are doing the same thing.
Nothing.
My friends are doing exactly what they're
doing.
What are they
doing? Are they just playing video games and fucking doing jack shit? Just going to the same bars?
Yeah, and that controls people in a way, it by fear. They're afraid to try anything new. They're like afraid.
See, did you get people telling you can't do that when you wanted to?
Totally.
When you wanted to be a fire? Like, stop, what are you doing? You're going to fuck up your life.
No, my manager at UPS told me it wasn't going to work out.
Wow.
He goes, well, I was like, look, you know, I got to give you my, you know, I'm going to give you 3 weeks notice instead of two. I was like, oh, I'm going to try to go out. My friend of mine has a place to stay for a little while, and I'm going to try to get on my feet out in California and pursue fighting. I was like, I don't know if it'll work. You know, I gave him that little like disclaimer or whatever. Like, I don't know if it'll work. You know, I hope it will. And he's like, yeah, I probably won't. But you know, like, if you come back, I probably can't hire you again.
Oh, it's just like making you like
have, yeah, like, all right, man, yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't leave. I have a job.
Yeah, damn exactly. Yeah. So, and it was crazy because UPS at the time was paying $7.50, and if you worked there for 6 months, you got quote unquote benefits. So that was considered a great job among people in my circle because
$7.50 an hour years ago.
Yeah, because minimum wage was $5.15, and that's what I was making. And people were like, "Oh, if you can get a job at UPS, yeah, it's backbreaking labor, but it's $7.50 with benefits." And I'm like, "Wow, like, you know." And
that
I got
must be
this
tough to see all these nice things other people are getting.
Oh man! And I come out here. And then you know, I get a job within a month doing construction under the table. I get $10 an hour, which
no
is,
taxes.
Yeah, no That's taxes. 15. I'm like this is cool. This is easy. Do that for a couple weeks, and then I get a job bouncing at a nightclub, which is basically just sitting there and dealing with really bad music for 6 hours. And I'm getting $15 an hour to sit there, and I'm like, wait a minute, like. This is considered a lowly job. You know, mm-hmm. like the $15 yeah. an hour security gig where you sit there at the smoking patio.
And they told you you can't make it. You're like, even if I fail, I'm better off.
Yeah, exactly.
And the beach is fucking 10 minutes away.
I was failing for years, slowly failing and then like fighting for $200 and stuff.
So many people told me I couldn't.
And exactly.
Here's the only thing I didn't want to do, and you probably had this too, where it's like, I looked at it. I came out here when I was 25, but I was like, I don't want to be 35 with some family and think, fuck, what if I had gone out there and tried it instead of being a lawyer mm-hmm. or something boring? What if I had tried it? Maybe I had a chance. And I was like, I could take going out here, trying and failing, and then having a thought like, oh, no, I tried. It didn't work. Rather than, maybe I could have been something.
I before I even came out to California for that, 2 years earlier, I had gone out to San Francisco with skateboarding. That was my like last
You're a skateboarder? Attempt
to, yeah, I skateboarded hardcore from the age of 13 to the age of like 19 or so.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, well, my friend skated and I had a board and a friend had a half pipe or something like that. It wasn't like that. It was like every day I lived and breathed skateboarding. I was filming it, making videos, watching skate videos, skating.
Really?
Trying to become pro and like really loving it, you know? And like that was like a failed dream in a way. And I was just like, well, I'm going to try again. Like, I got into fighting. I had always watched fighting even while I was skateboarding. I had watched all the UFCs as the sport was turning into a sport slowly and evolving in the 90s. And I was just, like, once skateboarding like really wasn't working out and I wasn't even able to do it for fun that much anymore, I started training and I was just like, opportunity to come out to California for that. And I was like, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to try this again. Like, why not? You know?
When's your next fight?
I don't have anything scheduled yet. I just signed with a new manager and he's gonna talk to Joe Silva probably the next week or so, and then I'll get something scheduled.
You should skateboard into the octagon. Would that be allowed?
They've got like so many wires like crossed and everything, fuck. and then on top of that,
get
like
a longboard.
it's so weird. It's like they got like you have to. I mean, I know you see guys running sometimes into the octagon. Sometimes you see guys walking slowly and everything, but they really like squish you in this little box to get through there, and like you kind of got to go at their pace. Like the security guards, the commission people,
the camera on you,
and right the camera you, guy, right, like and the up. Camera guys, and like, well, I remember one time there was like a certain part of my music that was going to kick in that I really wanted to come out to, and I kind of was just going to like bounce around at first before that, and the camera guy's like, let's go, and I'm like, just like not listening to him. He's like, let's go now. He's like screaming at me, and then like the
why
people,
is there a camera guy bossing around a fucking somebody who's putting his life on the line.
I know.
Almost.
And then you got my corner people behind me, and these commission people are pushing them, saying go, and I'm just
and they
like,
feel the pressure and they push
you. Yeah. So it just ends up being like,
I want to come out to the drum solo.
Exactly. I mean, they let BJ Penn do that. They even queued it up.
They ain't telling BJ Penn shit.
Yeah. In the Phil Collins in the Air Tonight with the drum, that fucking the best drums ever. Yeah. You came out to that, man.
Who did? BJ?
BJ did, really? Yeah. And they queued it up so it was like 10 or 15 seconds before that drum.
Do they let you guys pick whatever song you want?
For the most part.
It's mostly such a douche.
I've had stuff rejected.
What?
Yeah, why? Yeah. They just like it seemed for a while that they were just taking whatever, and then they were like, no vulgarity, and I was like, edited versions of everything, and they were like, well, I mean, if it's a rock song and you can't really, it's not blatant, you can't really hear, but yeah, most hip hop, you know, it's got to be the edited version. I was like, oh, okay. And then they were taking whatever. Like, I came out to Astro Zombies, a Misfits song one time, and I was like, and they were like, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And then the next time I was like, all right, well, I'm on this little Danzig kick. I'll go with Sam Hain, this song called Archangel. This is Sam Hain's song. And they were like, no, like, we're not going to use that. I'm like, why not? And he's like, you know, they always give it up and say it's somebody, they blame it on someone else. I don't know why, but they just rejected it. Maybe it was
too
corporate, heavy.
That's a corporate thing.
Totally.
Blame it on someone else. Blame it on someone higher.
Yeah, exactly.
Even exactly. Car dealers use that. Like, let me go to my manager and see. Yep, and yep. Go check their email for 2 seconds and come back out. Said, I'd love to, but he said there's no way. You've got to go another $200.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Are you in PETA?
I'm not in PETA. I have very, very mixed feelings about PETA. There are some awesome people that work for them and some people that really put like their well-being on the line and done like these awesome crusades in the name of animal rights. And then there's a lot of ways that they go about handling things that I just don't agree with. I think that I think animal rights is a very like serious cause, and I think it should be treated like just like anything, you know, and like a serious like social and moral issue, that, you know what I mean? And I think like PETA, like, I mean, sometimes like they do things just for attention. Mm-hmm. and like here's their point of view. Well, we're just gonna have to do the craziest, most outlandish thing to like get publicity. Even if it's bad publicity, it's good. And I don't agree with that. I think bad publicity is worse, because what happens is people see this crazy stuff that some of these PETA people are doing and they say to themselves, there's those crazy, stupid animal rights people again. Mm-hmm. And then then animal rights gets a bad name. It's just these crazy people acting dumb. And then nobody believes in the cause. I think like it should be taken more seriously. You know,
I did a thing. I'm just realizing this now. Me and, do you know Duncan Trussell? He's a comedian. But we got hired to go, not hired, but they asked by PETA to go down to some store in Beverly Hills where they were selling like baby seal shoes or something.
Right, right.
And we had somebody dress up as a seal and we started beating the shit out of them with rubber bats. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It's
like, what are you doing? Why are you causing traffic?
I know. And you know, like they'll do something like a naked protest against fur, and then they'll do something like throwing paint on celebrities wearing fur and everything. And it's like, okay, like this mischief type of stuff, like there is like a little bit of appeal to it. But at the end of the day, what you're doing is doing something just for publicity. And then we all get labeled as these crazy animal rights people who are just like these, the few radical extremists. And yes, there are other animal rights people out there, but they should just keep their mouths shut and they shouldn't act silly like you guys do. And so that's where I disagree with it. I've heard people from PETA say though that, and this is their way of defending those sorts of actions is, well, when you look back at women's rights, you know, like women trying to get the right to vote and like the civil rights movement, they had to do like stuff that was viewed as crazy and stuff just to get noticed in the beginning before like their movement was. I'll take that, you know, and I'll take that into consideration, but I don't agree with
maybe, but I'm wondering how many people notice if there's like on the gets to your plate and how the cow doesn't grow fast enough for man, so through his greed he makes a faster plan. He has drugs to make the cow grow quicker, through the stress the cow gets sicker. 21 different drugs are pumped into the cow in one big lump, so just before it dies it cries in the slaughterhouse full of germs and flies. Off with the head, they pack it, drain it, and cart it, and there it is in your local supermarket, red and bloody, a corpse neatly packed.
That's it, everyone. That's the episode. I am done. I'm going to now eat some Maynard's sour wine gums. I love Canadian candy. It's fun how after an episode of talking about eating right and what it can do for your body, I am drunk. I just ate McDonald's, an Angus third pounder. That's the healthiest thing I could think of to order on the menu. Obviously, I'm not going to order a wrap, but the Vegas third pounder with some French fries, which I ordered extra salt, or no, added extra salt. Anyway, all right, you guys, so that's the episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Again, go to proflowers.com and then enter skeptic where it shows the microphone, or go to my website and you can click on either that or the Gamefly to sign up for a free trial of Gamefly for 2 weeks and to help my podcast, or Amazon to do all your Amazon shopping. Go through my website. click on the link and then do your Amazon shopping. Then it gives me some sort of cash back situation. Anyway, so that's it, everybody. Again, let me do the dates really quickly, just in case you are in one of those cities. Raleigh, North Carolina, the 7th, 8th, and 9th, 10th of February. San Diego on the 29th of January. We're doing a punch drunk, a live punch drunk. Then 26th in Milwaukee, the Miramar Theater. Chicago the night before, the 25th with Brian Cowan and Joe Rogan. That's something like the Chicago Theater or something like that. And then that's it. The next This Is Not Happening Storyteller Show is in L.A. the 26th of February. Long Island, March 1st and 2nd. And Vancouver to the Comedy Mix, the March 21st, 22nd, 23rd. You guys, you're awesome. Maybe Nashville at the end of March with Kreischer and Segura. We will see. But get my special, Passive Aggressive, on chill.com/Ari Shaffir or on my website, arithegreat.com. I'm drunk in Vancouver, and by that I mean Edmonton. I'm going back tomorrow. Congratulations on San Francisco and Baltimore for going to the Super Bowl. I feel like there was something else I was going to say, but I don't know what it was. So, like everything, I'll just leave it forever. See, if you get drunk, it's one thing. But if you get drunk and high and go back and forth, it takes you like 3 or 4 times the level. It's not like addition. It's like multiplication. All right, you guys. Thank you, Mac Danzig, for talking to me about all that shit. That's crazy what happened to your mom. Man, that's, it makes me worry about leaving my fucking water bottles in the heat like that. Yeah, that guy's a real cool guy, by the way, Mac Danzig. He's a really cool, fucking laid back, chill. If you think of UFC fighters, I don't know about you, but I sometimes used to think about like meatheads, but like he's not one. It just goes to show you that everybody's an individual. Everybody does their own thing. That guy's fucking chill. He's like a hippie. Yeah, not everybody's this fucking meathead that you think they are. Anyway, so thank you, Mac Danzig, very much. So, that's it. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 97, Vegetable Head with Mac Danzig.